Stand by for action.
Hey everybody, welcome back to the Punk Till I Die podcast. I'd like to say it's a very special episode, but it's really not. But the thing that's strange is that Neil and I are both wearing gaming headphones.
Indeed.
Because we're kind of experimenting, and we both sort of look like Garth Brooks. Which is not a good look, necessarily.
Without the cowboy hat.
The sweaty, just disgusting cowboy hat, yes.
It's interesting, that guy, Garth Brooks, man, he was fucking everywhere. What was it, like 91, 92, whatever that was? He was hit after hit after hit. Yep. Now you never hear about the guy. Did he retire?
Funny thing is, I don't think he really puts out much new music, but he still, like, I don't know, quite a few years ago, I took my wife to see him, and he put on a surprisingly good show. It's not my thing, but he's a hardworking entertainer. Mm-hmm. But he can still go to, like, sell out the United Center, like, six or eight shows.
Sure.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. So he's still a huge live draw.
And, I mean, you know, and I can understand it. Some of those songs, I'm not a country guy, at least not a new country guy by any means, but...
Yeah, by new, you mean anything after the 60s, yes?
Basically, yeah. Basically, yes. But, like, Friends in Low Places was a great song. I mean, he had a couple of great songs.
I despise that stuff. You know, so that came out, I was, like, 17, 18, 19 years old, all that stuff was out. I freaking hated all that stuff. But I'd be lying if I, you know, said that when that comes on now at the bar when I'm 16 Coors Lights deep or whatever, that I don't sing along.
You know? There you go. Yeah. No, I get it completely. It was like him, Randy Travis. Like, there was all these new guys came through in, like, their early 90s or whatever, right? Dwight Yoakam.
My wife, when we first started dating, was a fan of that type of music.
Yeah.
Luckily, I was able to, you know, save her from that and drag her into a life of obscurity, following me around trying to sell my shitty demo tapes. But so I saw some of those concerts. Like, I saw Alabama like 30 something years ago.
Didn't they used to have, like, big Confederate flags with them and stuff?
I only support bands that have Confederate flags.
So Confederate still, Railroad is still one of your favorite country bands.
Yeah. I don't remember that. See, I didn't, like I said, I did not like that music, and I was sort of resentful towards it. But, as I've gotten older, you know, when you're young, there's only two kinds of music, Neil. Rock. Music you like and music that sucks.
Okay, yeah.
But now that I'm older, I can appreciate other forms of music, even if I don't like it, except for jazz. I know you said you're going through a jazz phase. I still sounds to me like somebody throws a basket of silverware down the stairs.
But when I said jazz, what I meant was like Ella Fitzgerald, Louis Armstrong, you know, early songs, like that kind of stuff.
Big band. Then.
Yeah, kind of like that. So I don't go into that. Yeah, just everyone playing a fucking different thing, you know. No, I'm not into that shit at all. What was I going to say about that?
Anyway, we're Tom and Neil, in case anybody is just joining us.
Yes, Country Till I Die.
I was at a show, I don't know, a couple weeks ago, we'll talk about it, I'm sure, and I was wearing my Punk Till I Die sweatshirt, and the guy said, hey man, is that a podcast or something? I'm like, yeah, it's, you know, if you like to listen to old guys talk about punk rock stuff, just check it out. And I had a sticker in my pocket, you know, I always have stickers in my pocket, like a business card.
Mm-hmm.
And I gave him one, so you never know when somebody might be listening to for the first time.
Yeah, me too, actually. And again, we'll talk about Adamant in a second, because I went to see that a couple weeks ago. And yeah, the two ladies sitting next to us, I gave them both stickers too.
Nice.
Yeah, it was interesting. So yeah, it is. It's like a business card. It's like a business card you can use that then you don't just throw away. You actually stick it on something, hopefully. So.
Yeah. Well, it's funny. I don't know. Where do we start, Neil?
We'll start with this. So it's been actually a couple of weeks since me and Tom did a show, because Tom has been taking a well-earned vacation. Now, I know he was the lone guy on a vacation with like five women, I believe.
Yes, so that's
I don't know
exactly
how restful that was for the man, but I guess we'll find out. Where did you go, Tom?
So we went to Myrtle Beach. We stayed in our condo.
Yep, that's right.
So, all right. Should we start there? You want to start there?
Punk till I die 77 at Gmail.
Punk till I die Facebook group.
That's where all the action happens. Even if you're, you're not a Facebook person, which I get completely, believe me, I get it. You don't want to add all your loser friends from high school or whatever. But even if you're like that, join Facebook just to get in our group, because the group is a lot of fun. And there's probably a lot of inside jokes we say on the podcast that you might not get if you're not in that in the group.
The thing I notice is that people listen better than we do.
People,
can you explain that reference to me of what I said at what time? Because I don't remember. Richard especially is good at recalling some little detail. I'm like, dude, did I say? I have no recollection of that at all. We're just, how do you say it in circus terms, Neil? We operate without a net.
And this is stream of consciousness pretty much.
Yes.
So, and that's why, oftentimes, hey, we make mistakes about stuff sometimes because it's, it just is what it is. It's as we remember it at this specific second that we're recording it, right?
Yes.
We don't go in and edit any of that stuff.
Well, and we're old and our brains are addled.
Dude, I've been the last couple days. I just words that I can't get or people's names. I just can't fucking bring them to the front of my mind. Maybe I'm getting fucking Parkinson's or Alzheimer's or some shit.
You know, my wife blames it on Google, and I'm starting to wonder if she's not right, because you're watching a movie now, right?
Mm-hmm.
And some broad who was a real babe in the 70s pops up, and you're like, oh, I remember her from such movies as blah, blah, blah. And you can't remember her name. You can't remember the movies that she was in. She was just a face. So then all of a sudden, what do? You Google the movie you're watching, and then you go to IMDb, and you know what I mean?
Yep, hit the link for the woman, and yeah.
But it's so we don't need to be able to remember things anymore. You know, one of my dreams, I'm a pretty good trivia player. One of my dreams is always to go on Jeopardy.
Okay.
But I miss my window. Like, I was really good at it at one point, but now I'm too slow on the draw, and I'd be driving home. Oh, I remember now. You know, it's just so unfortunately. Maybe I could play Jeopardy against the president and
Alzheimer's patient.
The Supreme Court or something. I bet you I got quicker recall than they do.
There you go. Yeah.
But that would
work.
Yeah. So, yeah, man. So, we went to Myrtle Beach, but, I had to have a little something in there for me. So, on the way there, and I got to say, the whole family really enjoyed this. We had a good time. We stopped.
On the way there, stopped at a titty bar, left the ladies outside.
We stopped. Dude, I won my pool, my NCAA pool.
Oh, you did? How much you win?
Like $120.
Uh-huh.
Not much money. A lot of guys didn't participate this year. I don't know anything about basketball. It was literally, I might as well have picked it with darts, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I won to the point where I don't even need to have the championship game, which is tonight.
Oh, wow.
But the guy who ran it was such a smartass that he gave it all to me in $1 bills. So I've been thinking a lot about the titty bar lately.
Do the ladies like $1 bills anymore? Is it all fives now?
Yeah,
it's
got to go to... I don't know. It used to be you get a pretty solid dance for a buck. I bet you those days are over, huh?
I always wonder how it works in England, because obviously we went away from paper money ages ago. So they have pound coins. So people throw in these heavy coins at the strippers, hit them in the teeth and shit.
You know, the thing with strip joints, right? My pal Scott and I used to go to them fairly regularly. I haven't for years. I can't even tell you the last time I went to one. And I really don't have any desire to, honestly. But, you got this woman up there, and she's wearing, 19-inch heels, and she's spinning around on this pole, and she's doing all this amazing stuff and just, putting on a show, really working for those dollars. And then her song is done, and she has to scamper around the stage and, pick up all the loose dollars off the stage like a homeless person dumpster diving. It's a strange juxtaposition, right?
It is, yeah. I mean, maybe they do. Maybe they go around with a hat or something in England to collect the dollar pound coins.
Like a purse.
Yeah.
Coin purse. Those plastic ones.
I don't know, man. I don't know. Interesting.
What's the smallest note in England? Is it 2 pounds?
There was never two. It was always 1, 5, 10, 20.
Wow.
These days, I don't know what it is anymore. I don't know if there's even a five. I assume there's a £5 note. I haven't been in 5 years or whatever. I mean, and actually, it makes sense. Obviously, the pound coins last much longer than a dollar bill does, you know.
Americans hate dollar coins.
They hate change.
Well, they hate dollar coins. They've tried over the years so hard to push those. First, it was Susan B. Anthony, and then it was Sacagawea. But Americans hate dollar coins, and I do too.
You know, the only place they're good is in parking meters.
Soda machines.
Oh, yeah, there you go. Soda machine. Yeah, because, dude, a soda machine's at work. It's like $1.
It's like $2, right?
Well, that would at least make sense. It's like $1.25. So not only have you got to carry fucking, you know, a dollar bill with you, you got to have fucking change. It's very annoying. Or $1.30 or some shit. Just stupid. Well, anyway, so did you have a good time on vacation?
I did, but you know what? Let's cleanse our palate.
Okay.
Let's cleanse our palate with a song. I'm gonna call an audible here, actually.
Oh, you bastard.
I know we had all the songs picked out, but because I got a bunch of new singles, so I was going to play a bunch of those, because my trip really has no punk rock stuff at all. Like, there's nothing punk rock to talk about my trip.
You didn't go to any record stores or anything?
Oh, I did, but I'll talk about that, too. It's not very... There's one record store in Myrtle Beach, and it kind of sucks.
Oh, boy. There you go, Mr. Record Store Owner Myrtle Beach. Your store sucks.
Our last episode, we talked to... Rick Sims. Indeed. And I told him about a song that I really enjoyed of his that I didn't know was a cover. It was actually a Plasmatics cover.
Yep, okay.
And we didn't play that song, did we? I don't think so.
What, the Rick Sims? No, we didn't. No.
Okay. So I'm going to play that first. Okay. And I'll knock off one of my other songs later.
Okay.
So then I can get down to my storytelling, because we got so distracted by strippers and...
as we would, as you should, right?
Jeopardy, and I don't even remember what else.
Richard White will tell us.
Yes.
So do you want the digits version or the original version?
I want to play the digits version.
Okay.
I like Rick singing better than Wendy O. You know, Plasmatics were not without their charm, and I'm sure they were a wonderful live band, but there's a reason they weren't bigger. So let's do, yeah, we're going to do the digits. And this is from, what is it, K. Sirhan Sirhan, he said? Their last studio album?
All of their albums had very clever pun titles. Yes. At least the last couple did.
Well, they're clever puns, but the problem with the pun title is it's a little less funny every time you say it. You know, like the first time you see it, it's like, oh, that's great. And then, you know.
Listen, Rick was probably off his tits when he thought of it, so, you know.
Probably. I never, you know, I always mean to ask Rick, you know, Rick doesn't drink anymore, but somebody told me, who shall remain nameless, that everybody has a when Rick was drinking story.
Well, actually, we can get to this later on. I actually met him for coffee last week, and sat together and talked for like an hour, so he did tell me some of that shit, so.
Yeah. Oh, that's cool. Yeah. All right. Well, listen, because I'm going to go out in record store day, and I'm going to try to find that digits thing, but if I can't find it, I might just have to have you go get me a signed one. Because you said you're going to go over there, probably, right?
I think I am. Yeah. In fact, I'll hang out with him again that day.
There you go.
Drive with him that day. Or something.
Neil's like, I'm sorry, dude. I'm replacing you on the podcast. I have a celebrity.
Yes. With lots of good stories about.
He's,
like,
he's got access to all this audio equipment. I don't have to do any production anymore.
Yeah. It's actually he's got a lot of very interesting stories about that stuff. But anyway, so what's the name of the song again?
The song is Monkey Suit.
Monkey suits. Okay, so here we go. Digits with monkey suit.
In your monkey suit, you just look like a monkey!
right there. We had the Digits, Rick Sims and the boys, Doug and Brad. I don't know if Brad was in the band at that time, because that was off the last album. They might have had that other drummer. Monkey Suit there by the Digits, originally by the Plasmatics, I guess.
Yes. So anyway, yeah, so the thing I found on the way, I'm obsessed with like all these urban legends and all these weird things, Neil. Maybe obsessed is too strong a word, but I'm always interested in all this stuff.
Sure.
Like a few years ago when we were in Georgia, we went to the Bigfoot Museum and stuff like that. I love crap like that.
Now, why would the Bigfoot Museum be in Georgia?
I thought
Bigfoot was in the fucking Pacific Northwest.
Every culture and almost every area where there's woods has a version of Bigfoot.
Okay.
I mean, some call it the Swamp Ape, some call it Bigfoot, some call it the Yeti. You know, there's lots of different versions.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, so I've been interested in this Mothman of West Virginia.
Oh, right. Yeah. Interesting. Yeah.
So on the way there, we stopped in Point Pleasant, West Virginia, which is the nicest little town, and went to the Mothman Museum. That was actually a lot of fun. And my mom enjoyed it. The girls enjoyed it. It was a good time.
But hold on a second. A museum isn't normally a place where they have artifacts of things that actually happened. How do they have a museum of something that is made up?
You know, it's not made up. I mean, something happened.
There's no evidence, though, right? They don't have a photograph of Mothman or whatever.
No, they don't. It's funny. There's lots of facsimiles, though. But it's funny because this thing was so widely reported in the paper, and it went on for like 3 years. And then, you know what? I don't know if you know the story or not.
Doesn't it always bring, if you see it, you're going to die or something?
Well, as the Mothman was all over, and then this bridge collapsed between Ohio and West Virginia, and a bunch of people died. It collapsed during rush hour. So I wonder if anybody in Baltimore saw the Mothman.
Look at you. Bringing it present day.
But you know, the town knows it's kind of shtick, so they kind of, you know, I got a t-shirt and stuff and a book, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It was cool, though. It was fun. I was on the way, and then we slept in Virginia overnight, and then we got to the beach, and man, we had beautiful weather, Neil.
So, of course, Tom, for people that don't know, because Tom likes to save a buck, he doesn't fly to any of these places. Tom takes, like, a horrendous, like, 48-hour drive to get to these places.
So it's about 16 hours with kids. We broke it up in two on the way there. The way back was pretty rough, I got to say. We just piled in and went. But, well, it's not a matter of not being willing to fly. It's just there's no... The airport in Grand Rapids is kind of like a second-tier airport. So to fly directly to anywhere, we either got to go to Detroit or Chicago. And at that point, you're basically adding so much time to the trip that it's not much different than driving. It's obviously a lot cheaper to drive. I have six of us went. I'm not flying six people to anywhere.
Now, how come you'd had six people? What was the deal with that? And say, except for you and your youngest daughter, I thought it was going to be.
Well, my wife kind of casually, or I did, or somebody asked my mom if she wanted to go, and I thought my mom would go and kind of keep my daughter occupied.
Mm-hmm.
But then my wife's like, you can't expect your 70-something-year-old mother to keep your 16-year-old daughter occupied. She's going to need some younger people, too. And she was going to have a friend from school, but it didn't work out, so we brought my nieces, who are like 14 and 11 or something like that.
Okay. Wow. So you had three teenagers. Holy shit.
I did, and I got to say that my nieces were very well-behaved. My daughter was a huge pain in the ass most of the time, but the other girls were pretty well behaved. So
excellent. Okay, so was the weather good enough that you could be on the beach and shit like that?
We had one day of rain. Other than that, it was really nice. I mean, it's 70s, you know. It wasn't like it was, but I'm tan, man. I'm brown.
Okay, Pedro.
Yeah, exactly.
So from some of the photographs, it looked like you found shark's teeth or something.
Oh, my wife is a big shark tooth finder.
So they're just on the beach? Did you have to dig about?
Yeah, you kind of got to kick around like on the edge of where the water meets the sand. You know, you take a kid, like my son Murphy, he's always a twitchy kid, you know, a real high-strung kid.
Mm-hmm.
He would spend hours looking for shark teeth. It's almost like therapy. It's therapy.
Oh, it is. It is, for sure. Yeah.
So I didn't do it this time, but what would happen is in the morning, she'd take the girls, they'd all go out for a walk, and I'd be like, I'd have like half an hour by myself.
Mm-hmm.
To do man stuff, which
means i.e. beating off.
play on my phone or take a dump.
Well, there we go.
So But yeah, it was nice, man. I gotta tell you, I really have very minimal complaints about the whole thing. Other than the fact, it's just everything. And once again, this plays into you call me a cheapskate, but everything is so damn expensive, man.
Yeah, no
whether shit. It's mini golf or going to get ice cream or anything, you know.
Yeah,
it's $14 to play a round of mini golf.
Damn,
man, I used to play real golf for that much.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, yeah, we had a real nice time, man. I'm glad to be home in my own bed. Our place is really not big enough for six. We have like a decent sized bedroom with two queens in it, which we're gonna get made into a king, I think. Instead,
hello, Frisco.
Yeah, two queens. Yeah, exactly.
Thank you very much.
And two queens, and then we have in the other room. There's a pull-out couch and a Murphy bed. So we slept in the Murphy bed. I don't know how much smaller a Murphy bed is than a queen, but it's some smaller. And it was just like too tight, and there's no box spring, and it's just, yeah, I slept kind of crappy.
Is it like a full? Yeah, it probably is, right?
Yeah, like a double bed or whatever they call them.
Yeah. Old school. Yeah. I get that.
Pretty much. But, you know, listen, these are first world problems, my friend. You know, we woke up, we had our breakfast watching the ocean, and like, I never got up to see the sunrise, but, you know, people who were into that did.
Yeah. I know when we used to go down to Sanibel in Florida a lot, it wasn't shark teeth down there, but it's amazing shelling. The beaches down there are amazing for shelling. So, yeah, I mean, it is. It do kind of lose all your troubles as you just, you know, walking along the beach, looking at the birds and stuff, and looking for shells. But after a while, man, especially as we get older, your back starts to fucking hurt.
My calves, like from walking in the sand, my calves are like sore.
Yeah. Now, do you go swimming in the Atlantic at all?
It's a little chilly.
Yeah, the Atlantic can be rough, yeah.
And there was like ball tournaments, baseball and softball for girls, and there was just so many teenagers all over the place. Mm-hmm. At one point, I'm like walking by the pool, and there must have been like 10 like high school girls all laying on their belly in their bikinis with their bottoms exposed to me while I walked along. It looked like a pervert greeting card or something.
So Tom had to go upstairs and do his man thing again for half.
You know what I did, dude? I dropped my Ray-Bans down onto my nose. That's all I did. I wanted nothing to do with it. At one point, we were in the pool, and like 15 of them jumped in around us. It was like fighting through zombies to get out, except for it was bikini-clad 17-year-olds or something.
Sounds like a bad movie. A bad trauma movie.
Yes.
Now, was that because it was spring break?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it's spring break for us northerners, but yeah, it must be because they were off playing ball during the week.
Yeah, that's true. What do people from Florida and down south do on spring break?
I don't know. What do they need spring break for?
Exactly.
Weather's there nice all the time.
Take them up to Chicago and get robbed. It's great.
You know, the one thing, the place was so busy, all I could think was, this is a terrible week for us to come because we could have this place rented out, obviously. It'd be rented out.
Yeah. Actually, I was going to ask you about that because I might decide to take it, you know, to go down there for a week or something. I haven't had a real vacation in fucking, I can't even remember how long.
Well, you're talking about going to England, right?
Yeah, so now we're talking about going to England and also having a Spain trip in there too.
Oh, nice.
But again, it's just talk right now because when I look at how expensive the fucking flights are,
yeah,
dude, I don't know, man. This is going to be 10 grand by the time we're done, you know? So I don't know if it's going to fucking happen.
You know, some years are better than others, Neil. And I told you about my tax situation and my, you know, we're going on a pretty good trip in October and all this stuff. It's like, I'm not going to get ahead this year. I'm just going to try to keep up, you know. Retirement's not going to get padded this year.
Some girls are bigger than others, indeed.
Exactly.
So you were there for a week?
Yes.
That's nice. That's a nice break, man. Did you? Yeah.
I was trying to remember some, like, there's definitely a few like odd stories of things that sort of were strange that I had in mind, but now I can't remember any of them. So,
any other museums or anything you stopped at? Any other?
We went to one of our favorite places down there, which is by the House of Blues. It's called Alligator Adventure, which is this place that has like 700 alligators, just alligators all over the place. That's fun, like a zoo.
No, you said there was a record store, but it wasn't any good.
Yeah, it's called Kilgore Trout. They don't really have much punk. A lot of beat up classic rock. And it's definitely like resort town prices.
Oh, fuck. Yeah.
I always end up buying something.
What you get?
This year I got the double Police Greatest Hits album.
Oh, okay.
I like, I like the police. It's called a weakness, a moral failing, if you will. But I like them. So
I like the first couple of records, I guess.
Well, they only you know, obviously
they did four, right? They only did four studio albums, four or five.
Their big hits came out in 82. I was all of 9 years old, 10 years old, and then they split up. And I liked. I know you said you don't like that Synchronicity album, but that was I pretty much like all their albums actually. So anyway, you know. Once in a while, almost everything I buy is punk or thrash, but I do sometimes drift back to the COVID times where I had very little like family friendly listening. Mm-hmm. This definitely falls under the my wife doesn't hate it.
Oh, I get it. No, I get that completely, dude. I get that completely. So, if I'm in the car and some, you know, I put something loud and obnoxious on, Laura will immediately get on me. So I've got to have my playlist of either 50s or you know, Morrissey.
Last time I was at the same store, I bought like a double like Cheap Trick best of.
Oh, okay. That passed the smell test too.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Good.
And you know. I like them. Anyway, it's cool. And I also, well, and the other thing is, and I'm sure I'll think about more things on my trip when it's less appropriate time, but it's always great when you get home and you have records.
Like oh, I had fuck yeah. Stuff, coming I back and seeing those boxes. Yep.
I had some stuff. I had four singles I got from Get Hip, which is a pretty cool little garage punk distro label out of Pittsburgh. And I got a record from our friend John, the new Darbs record.
Which is actually very good. I listened to it on the way home tonight.
Yeah. It's nice, clear vinyl, too. Kind of a
Nice, it's like a bottle, like the Coke bottle green or something they call it.
I know you got a little nervous when you saw it had some Dungeons & Dragons reference on it.
I did.
No, I agree. I've only listened to it one time, but I've been enjoying it. But the other thing I got, the new Coxbar record.
Oh, you did? Oh, you see? You got to get me on that Pirates Press fucking freebie bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
Bastards.
I'm digging it. It's
I downloaded it. It's okay. It's very typical.
It's the least angry record I've ever heard of from them. But it is typical, but what do you want them to do, dude? I mean, it's like they stay in their lane, they do what they're good at. I'm enjoying it. I've only listened to that once also. So the first song and the last song are definitely bangers.
Yeah.
I got to take in the rest of it. But anyway,
Talking of records we got recently, you were talking about the Darbs that we just got sent. I'm actually going to play my first song.
Go ahead.
This is going to be one from, again, one of our good friends who sent us their debut album. Pete, our good friend Pete from New Jersey. Yes.
The Burnt Mill Ghosts.
Yeah, the Burnt Mill Ghosts. They just put out their first album called Old Records.
Yep.
And it is fucking excellent. I played it a lot. It's short, but really, really good songs on it. So I'm going to play a track from
that. We probably have to have... I talked to Pete a little bit. We'll probably have to have Pete back on.
See, definitely.
We had him years and years ago, and we'll have to catch up a little bit. A lot of things have changed in his world, I think. So,
what was his old band called?
The Fullers.
The Fullers, that's right. Yeah. Well, this is, no disrespect to the Fullers, but I think this is far better than what they were doing then. So, so this is a great album. You should all check it out. So this is Burnt Mill Ghosts with, I've picked a track called The Body, which is the second track off the album.
Down to the railroad tracks, so I've got to get out of this way. Whoa.
That was Burnt Mill Ghosts.
Funny thing about the body, Neil. I'm going to test your old man memory here.
Yep.
I don't know how long ago. It might have been a year ago. We actually debuted that song.
Oh, we did?
Remember Pete gave us a song to debut? We were like, we broke it. Like, we introduced the world to that song.
We are the best.
And Neil forgot all about it. Now we're playing it again. It's all good. Point home.
It's from that movie, right? What was that? Yeah, Stand By Me, right?
The original short story was called The Body.
Yeah. So, it's funny, man, as we get older. So, Stand By Me was one of those movies that, what year that came out? 86, 87, 88?
Yeah.
It seemed amazing at the time. If you watch it today, it is so cringy that it's difficult
to watch. You think so? I've watched it in the last couple of years. I still enjoy it.
The acting is embarrassing.
Well, they're just kids. So bad.
Yeah, well.
What about Ace?
There's kids and kids.
Kiefer Sutherland. Ace.
Yeah, Ace. Was he Eyeball? Someone was Eyeball.
That could be.
Yeah.
But, no, Ace was Kiefer Sutherland. Eyeball was like the brother of the... Mm. Kid, right?
Okay.
But it's funny. We're supposed to believe that in the idyllic Eisenhower 50s, that high school kids would just cut grade schoolers with knives. Like, stab or shoot.
Big tough guys.
Big tough guys.
Yeah. So anyway, you should check that album out. It's really fucking good. I can't remember what label it's on, but...
It's on that...
Spam. S-B-A-M, something like that?
Yeah, that's the Euro Distro, and there's... Yeah, I think it's on like three different labels, honestly.
Yeah. Anyway, it's good. You won't regret getting it. It's and I don't want to fuck with those guys either, man. Those guys look like they
are some big old Italian gangster looking mothers, aren't they?
Yeah, they are.
Pete's the smallest one of the bunch, and he looks like a football player.
Yeah, yeah, it's true. So that's a good one. Now, vacation tales are over. So
probably, I mean, things might come back to me as we go.
That's fine. That's fine. You just blurt them out.
Exactly. Just non sequiturs.
Yeah, but
my favorite planet is the sun.
So talking about that. We have to talk about this stupid bullshit. Can you believe this fucking shit about the fucking stupid eclipse today?
Did you step outside and see it?
Fuck no. I have important things to do.
I work outside. I've been working outside this week. I mean, it's only Monday, but I have an outside job this week, so I did. And a guy I work with brought a welding mask, so we could see it. And it's just like, okay, so if you put the welding mask on, you look at it, it looks just like a crescent moon, except for like the opposite. It's so underwhelming.
Yeah, I was gonna say I could draw a black circle for you and send it to you.
You look at things and you're like, oh, that's really cool. How long do I have to look at this?
I mean, seriously, everyone at my work, everybody, like, work stopped for like 2 hours while people were outside fucking handing each other sunglasses and these weird fucking boxes on their heads and all kinds of stupid shit. It was,
dude, God. Okay, so this happens every 20 years or something, right? So last time it happened, I guess I would have been 30. I have no recollection of it. But I do remember in grade school when there was a solar eclipse. Yeah, we made like these retarded like boxes with like holes in them and maybe tinfoil or something. I don't remember.
So you're looking at the reflection or some shit?
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
Actually, you know what? I should have played the song by the adverts. I looked at the sun. I should have played
that. There you go. Or Lights Out by Angry Samoans.
There you go. There you go. Yeah, that would work. Yeah. Yeah. Before vacation, right, you went to see a show and I went to see a show. What did you go see? Remind me.
I went and saw Less Than Jake, or Less Than Entertaining, as I like to call them. Strung Out and Raging Nathans.
Okay. I am guessing, because we haven't really talked about this, I am guessing that you enjoyed the Raging Nathans and didn't really enjoy the other two bands.
I went right up front, which I never do, for the Raging Nathans, and that was fun.
Is that the first time you've seen him?
No, we saw him last year at the wonderful T1 Fest.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's right, yeah.
The one day we went.
Yep.
The only bummer is I never go to shows on time. I know you're big into like showing up on time and then leaving early. I'm big into showing up late, half in the bag, and then staying till the bitter end. But yeah, I think they came out at like 7:30 or something, and we got there at 7:24. And I'm just like, dude, I'm gonna go up front. And Scott kind of hung back, and I went up front. There was a really nice crowd there when they played. I mean, I'm gonna guess it was at least 1,000 people for less than Jake.
Jesus.
But fuck. I bet you Raging Nathan's played for, you know, 700 people. Like a really nice crowd.
Yeah, that's still really good.
And they were great. And matter of fact, everybody I talked to thought they were great. So, I mean, I think this is a great, I don't know what their situation is on this tour, and it might even be over now, I don't know. But I think it's really cool. They were able to get in front of a bunch of people, I think. You know, because afterwards I caught up with Josh. I mercifully spent most of the Less Than Jake set talking to Josh. But I said, man, this is something, huh? Playing for these huge crowds. You know, because they usually go on tour with like the Queers or something, you know, and they're playing for right. like 200 people. He's like, dude, I think that's amazing.
Yep.
So he said they one show they had 3,000 people or something.
Fucking hell.
Yeah, no, but they were really good. You know, they get a half hour and they made the most of it. Made the most of their half hour, and like I said, I think they left a lot of people impressed. And you know the funny thing, because Josh has a label, they had by far the best spread of merch.
And they probably sold a lot of it, too, because people were probably super impressed.
I shouldn't say that. I don't know if their t-shirts and other garbage was as good as Less Than Jake.
But yeah, because like,
as far as records go, it wasn't even close.
Because I tell you what, Less Than Jake, the one time I saw them down at Fest, they have some of the most merch I think I've ever seen. Mm. They had pants, they had underpants, they had fucking, cigar holders, gloves.
I actually take that back, even though they had a lot of merch. You know, the Raging Nathans had a fair amount of merch. Strung Out had the least. They had one record. They had their one Suburban Teenage Wasteland or Blues or whatever it is. They're kind of their bigger album.
They have a brand new record out.
Yeah, but they only had the one for sale and a couple t-shirts. But I actually enjoyed Strung Out. They're not my favorite by any stretch of imagination, but I thought they put on a good show and I mostly enjoyed them. Once again, we're talking about the backward baseball hat punk crowd, right?
Yep.
But, you know, and the thing with Less Than Jake, I didn't anticipate enjoying them, but, and we left before it was over, but I like to support sometimes you have to support the type of shows you want to see, you know? And ultimately, I paid to get in to see Raging Nathans.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because, you know?
Yeah.
Good guys doing good stuff, support them. So anyway, it was cool. But you know, believe it or not, after we left, they said we stayed for about an hour of them, and Josh had to go run, and I'm like, all right. I walked in there for a bit, and Scott usually is more friendly to the horn playing bands, but it's just we just weren't feeling it. I don't know, it was a Tuesday or Wednesday or something. You know, it wasn't.
Yeah.
And we went and had dinner and knocked down quite a few tall boys before we got over there. So yeah, we got out of there, and but after we left, there was a fight, which I thought was strange because in general it was like a 40-year-old loosey goosey vibe, you know, like I think a lot of Less Than Jake fans are stoners, and you know, just a little different kind of vibe than you'd expect. It wasn't an Agnostic Front show or something, you know. You didn't expect people to be thrown down, there was a fight, and then they got that settled, and I guess somebody passed out or had a seizure or something. And I guess they, at some point, they just left. Like, that was it. Show was over. And I never got an official, I never saw an official statement, I don't think, by anybody. I didn't look very hard either. But one of the things on the, like, Reddit thread, there's like a Less Than Jake Reddit thread, believe it or not. People were talking about it, and they were like, these clubs need to keep Narcan on hand. And what? I had no idea. And I have no idea what the situation was. For all I know, the guy had a heart attack. He slipped on beer. I don't know what it was. But yeah, they were talking about these clubs need to. This is an independent club, by the way. One of those, you know, not a Ticketmaster venue, not a Live Nation venue. Owned by a person trying to compete and doing a damn good job of it, honestly, here in Grand Rapids, competing with the, you know, the slightly bigger, more overpriced Ticketmaster club, you know, two blocks away.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, and it was just like, you know, I don't want anybody to OD and die, but is that where we're at? Where the club has, I mean, is there any personal responsibility anymore?
Apparently not. Apparently not. I mean, apparently everyone has to have, you know.
But, I mean, dude, does everybody have to carry an Archon? Just in case, I'm not trying to be unsympathetic, but where does the responsibility lie? So that was kind of, I don't know, it's kind of irritating. That's where we've gotten as a society. Nobody's responsible for their own freaking shit, you know?
100%. That is fucking weird, dude. And I can't believe somebody would fucking say that. But in these days, I can believe somebody would be stupid enough to fucking say that.
Well, and like I said, I don't know that people understand. Not that we're like music industry insiders or anything, but I don't know that people understand the dynamics of trying to be an independent club, trying to compete against a government allowed monopoly with the Ticketmaster / Live Nation venues, you know?
Well, dude, you know what? I mean, a bar isn't even allowed to give you fucking aspirin. You can't just be giving fucking medications to people.
You got to get one of those big needles like from the leather case like Lance had in Pulp Fiction. Just jam that thing right in the heart.
Because they'll get sued. If the guy dies, the fucking venue will get sued, you know? It's fucking ludicrous.
And once again, I don't know that the guy OD'd. I just saw that on the thread. I'm just like, you soft-headed twits.
You're being very nice.
Well, I just...
Yeah, fucking pricks. Fucking pricks.
You know, And I use the word punks loosely in this term this time.
Yep.
But there's nobody better at ruining the punk scene than punks, man.
Oh yeah. Fucking whiny fucking bitches.
You know, we've had clubs here that got kind of semi boycotted because of allegations and, you know, just boy, one bad sort of rumor can really stick with you for a long time.
Condemned 84 was supposed to be coming to the US for a short tour, and Condemned 84 never come over here, but apparently that got kiboshed. People were coming all over the world to see their shows in New Jersey and New York, and that got kiboshed because somebody complained that they, you know, that they were Nazis. I think they got Condemned 84 and Combat 84 mixed up, to be honest. But but yeah, same shit. Same stupid fucking shit.
I didn't realize Combat 84 was English.
Oh, God, yeah. Pride of London.
I mean, Combat's English, right?
Combat 84 is, yeah, Condemned from...
I'm sorry. You said Condemned 84?
Yeah, Condemned 84, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know.
Yeah, anyway.
But yeah, it is amazing, and it's... You know, that's why I'm glad for places like Reggie's and whatever, even the Brower House, places that are not afraid to book, you know... The Mentors or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%.
But anyway, Neil, I'm going to play another song. Let me play Raging Nathan songs. I'm calling another audible.
Holy shit, you're fucking changing up everything, you bastard.
Sorry, I didn't my other theme was kind of weak anyway. Even though I like all those songs, but let's do Dayton. Raging Nathan's Dayton.
All right. You heard it here first, kids, and you know what? Well, let's play.
They played this one. They played, you know, so I bought the only Raging Nathan record I didn't have, which was their second one, which is called Cheap Fame. And they actually still play quite a few songs out of that. So I don't know why I didn't have that one yet.
All right,
I bought the other ones as they came out, but I just didn't have that one. So yeah, this is off of Cheap Fame, their second album. And I also, the other thing I got was a split they did. Because I've become quite obsessive with my Raging Nathan's vinyl collection. I got the split they did with the Mikey Erg band, which is real good too. So, anyway.
Well, while this is playing, I'm going to go get another beer. So,
okay.
Enjoy. Sounds good.
I'm the prince of you want it.
There it is. Raging Nathan's.
Dayton.
Their love letter to their hometown.
Dayton, Ohio.
I don't know if it is. I don't know if it really is a love letter or not, but anyway. Yeah, it was good to see Josh. It was, it was cool. It was, overall, we had a good, fun night, even though it wasn't, it wasn't like a life-altering show by any stretch of the imagination.
Did you stay till the end of fucking Less Than Jake?
No. Like I said, we left it for about an hour. Not only did we leave it for an hour, but that they said it didn't even, they didn't even have an end. It got kind of screwed up by someone, selfishly dying.
Yeah, son of a bitch.
Buddy.
Strung Out. I was funny. I was actually going to bring up about something about Strung Out because I got the Sirius Radio. I drive an hour to work and an hour back, right? So I got two hours in a day at the car. So the Sirius Radio is actually really good. I've got the channels I've got tuned in. I've got 50s Gold.
Nice.
I got whatever that punk channel is, Faction Punk. I got the 80s New Wave channel, which is called First Wave.
Okay.
Yep. And then I have the Frankly Sinatra. I have those ones. I have Frankly Sinatra, which is old Frank Sinatra, etc. Rat Pack type stuff. So they play the Faction Punk is okay. Like they're playing the Drowns on there. So they play decent stuff, but they play an awful lot of Blink 182 and The Offspring. So there's clearly some kind of payola going on there. But anyway, the other day...
That's people like Daniel. Those records sold a lot.
I guess.
It's sad, but...
But it's the new Offspring. It's the new Offspring and a new Blink-182. So they played Blink-182, they played something off the new Green Day, and then they played something off the new Strung Out. And I had to say... Then I switched over. I was tired of listening to that kind of music. It was so wimpy. It was so toothless. The guitars had no bite to them at all.
You're not talking about Strung Out.
Yeah, I am. The new record is so overproduced.
Their classic stuff, if anything, I would say is a little metallic on the guitar. Like the guitars are front and center, but
dude, it's so the opposite of that. It was the guitars are neutered and it's just overproduced to fuck. And so then I turned over to that. I was like, I've had enough of this. So I turned over to the 80s channel. And they were playing Berlin or something from like the early 80s, some electronics.
Take my breath away.
No, it was like super like heavy electronic stuff. And it actually sounded way more, I don't know, it sounded way better than the fucking stuff they were playing on the punk channel, I have to say.
It is all about, if you go too far one direction, you need a little bit of a reset. I get that.
Yeah, it was just really fucking frustrating. But then, like I said, then they'll blow it. They'll throw in the Dead Boys sometimes. But they play the Dead Boys from that that new version of Young, Loud, and Snotty.
They don't. They do.
They do. I was like, this doesn't sound right. And it was Sonic Reducer off that new record. It was like, well, that's not fucking right at all. So it's all over the place. But sometimes I just enjoy listening to Frank Sinatra, to be honest, in the car.
I used to, when I had Sirius, I would listen to Faction was not, they didn't have a dedicated punk channel. So I listened to like Marky Ramone had like a three-hour show or something.
Like a 2 or 3 hour show.
His show was really good. And as much as I think he's a douche, I think it's funny when he's like, "Here's a song by some friends of mine, Joe Strummer and the Clash." It's just like, all right, he was there. He's a prick, but he was there. So, and he would play new stuff like the Cancer Bats, and then play like, Richard Hell and stuff like that. Of course, he played on the Richard Hell album.
So he played. He did 2 hours on. His 2 hour show now is on Faction Punk. From like 8 till 10 or something.
And they always had Faction. They just did Faction. There was no Faction Punk when I had it. It was just more generic. They had hip hop and hard rock and all kinds of stuff.
So I thought it was funny. So he said he played a track by Rancid, and then he said they were from LA. And they're not from LA, are they? They're from fucking the East Bay, aren't they? Up by San Fran.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I always thought that was weird.
I mean, at least Tim and Matt, right? They were in Operation Ivy, right?
Yeah, yeah. What the fuck does Marky know? Him and his stupid wig. All right. So you're done talking about your show, right?
Yeah, unless I remember something else.
Because, man, do I have a long story about this Adamant show.
thing you would have hated about this Less Than Jake show, Neil,
yep,
is they had a backdrop with like all kinds of wacky stuff on it. It looked like it was... It looked like a chain restaurant or something.
Oh boy!
Like they had their 15 pieces of flair, you know? Like
yeah.
It was just cartoony and I don't know.
Well, that wouldn't surprise me at all if the next time I go down to Gainesville, if they have like a Less Than Jake themed restaurant, that wouldn't surprise me one little bit.
It'd surprise me more if you went back down to Gainesville, but we'll see.
yeah. Well, because I don't skate anymore, so yeah. So that's taking that out of it, I guess. So Adamant, I've been planning to go to this for ages.
Heard of him?
I love Adamant. I've seen him. This will be the third time in the last 10 years.
Okay. Well, did you see him in his heyday or no?
No, I never saw him in his heyday. No, I never did, because I moved to the States right as that was kind of happening. I guess a little bit after, but still.
Well, yeah, I was going to say Goody Two Shoes was like his biggest hit. That was like 82. But he started like 77, 78, right?
Yeah, he did. I did. And it's interesting that you say that, because I'm going to talk about that. So, I've seen him twice. This will be the third time I've seen him in the last 10 years. The last two times were at the Vic.
Okay, that's where we saw the Circle Jerks.
Yeah, so that's like 1,500 people.
Yeah.
Upstairs, downstairs. Small enough that if you're standing up front, it feels like almost like a club show.
But you can pretty much see anywhere in there,
right? Yeah, you can, because it's slanted, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
So the last two times I saw him there, he played for like an hour and a half, hour 45. It was great. One time he did the whole Kings of the Wild Frontier. The next time he did the next album, Back to Front, and then Greatest Hits and stuff. And he was great. He was just like he was back in the day. He was dancing about. His voice was great. So this time he was booked into the Auditorium Theater, which is where they have musicals and stuff. Right? It's an all-seated venue in the middle of the theater district. So it was a real theater he was playing this time.
So a lot more money?
It was a lot more money, yeah. So, because the Vic was normally like $40, $50, right? This was announced. 100? The English Beat was supporting. And because it's all seated, you know, obviously you get to pick where your seat is.
Sure.
And I wanted to go as close to the front as I could. So we got like row Q in the front section or whatever. And those were like $100 a ticket.
So you're like 20 rows back or not even.
You're right. So there was $100 a ticket, but then when you got the fees on top, it was probably like $130 or something for a fucking ticket, right?
It's a convenience charge, Neil.
So I bought those tickets so long ago, it almost seemed like it was a free show, right? It was like 3 months ago I bought the tickets. So anyway, I just had the day of, it was like a Wednesday or something, Tuesday or a Wednesday. The day of, I just, I'll look and see the Auditorium box office, see if this thing is sold out. Not only was it not sold out, you could still buy, you know, the boxes at the side, the private boxes. You could still get those. And the thing with the private boxes is you get a personal waiter and waitress, whatever. Or maybe a free drink.
And you could have saved yourself all those awful ticket fees.
Well, and the ticket was fucking, it was the same price as what I paid.
Ah.
So I could have got a box for $100 instead of sitting where I sat. Not that I was in a bad seat, but I'm saying I would have preferred to be in a box, you know, definitely.
Neil's the Abraham Lincoln of punk.
Definitely. So
he wants to sit in a box and people want to shoot him in the head.
So anyway, I mean, so this is where the theater is. It's a good 3/4 of the way down to Reggie's. So it's south of the divide, right? It's south of Monroe. So
it's down by the river. Down by the river.
Exactly. Yeah. So parking was a little difficult, but not too bad. So we get in there. And so the show, believe it or not, the show was supposed to start at 7. So it wasn't doors at 7, show at 8. This show was at 7.
Well, that's nice for you.
So we could, well.
If you can get down there in time.
Exactly. So we were fucking sweating it, you know, because I don't get home from work till like sometimes close to 5. So.
Yeah.
But anyway, so we didn't have time to eat. We just went straight down there. They didn't have any food. All they had was pretzels and a bottle of water for $10. So that was nice.
A bottle of water for $10.
Yep. Yeah, and the pretzels were like 8 or something like that.
Dude, that's offensive.
So that was great. So we go in, we get shown to our seat.
Like freaking Disneyland or something.
Dude, and it's so funny. So we get shown to our seat, and there's two ladies sitting next to us who were very excited about the whole thing. So we got talking to them and gave them stickers for the podcast and stuff. That was kind of cool. And then who sits in front of me? But the first tattoo artist that ever gave me a tattoo.
Oh, is that right?
Patrick Cornolo, yeah, who now is a pretty famous tattoo artist, it turns out. So we got talking to him for the first time in like 25 years or whatever. So that was funny, talking to him. And then Alan comes over, and I'm talking to him. And then I see another one of my tattoo artists, and I'm talking to him as well. And so these ladies next to us thought I was some kind of fucking MVP or something. Because I'm talking to everyone, and I'm talking about the podcast and shit. So that was funny. But anyway, Alan was only allowed. He was taking photographs for the show. Alan.
So did Disc. Alan? Did Alan have anybody with him?
He did.
Okay, because he
brought a buddy with him.
He actually invited me, but I. It's very difficult to go midweek. For me to go midweek to a show,
yeah,
I would have liked to have gone.
Yeah.
Even though I don't know by the time you're done telling the story, I might not so much. But
so and you know what? I'm probably gonna take a music break in a second. But Alan, he was an official photographer.
Yep.
So we had to pass and everything.
He's but got he, that freaking that gold mine, man. They get him access to some real cool stuff.
So his tickets were free. They were basically the same section as me.
Yeah.
And his tickets were free. But anyway, he's only allowed to take photographs for the first three songs of both the English Beat and the and Adamant.
Yeah, that's not unusual.
And it was from the side of the stage. It wasn't from the pit. It was from the side
really?
Of the stage.
Oh, really? Couldn't even go in the...
Basically, where we were sitting, just a couple of rows for... Because we were kind of on the side. So basically, on the side where we were, just a couple of rows further forward. So none of his photographs were particularly great, you know? Better than mine, because he had a better camera. But, you know, they weren't great, by any means. Huh. Which I thought was weird. I don't know why they wouldn't have allowed him in the pit.
Okay, so was there a wall? Was there a space between the stage? Was there like a...
Oh, yeah.
A barricade set up?
Oh, yeah. Well, that's where the orchestra would be, because it's a theater, remember?
Oh, yeah. Because there was like an 8-foot barricade depth at that Less Than Jake show, too. And I don't know if it was to try to... So people wouldn't stage dive or what? But I was like, is this really necessary? But, yeah, whatever. Remember that used to be like a big thing in punk circles, right? No barricades, man. No barricades.
Right. So, anyway, so the opening band, so the fucking the English Beat, come on, it's 7 o'clock.
Sharp. Huh? I mean, you guys were there at 7 o'clock?
So, yeah, we were there. So we were just in our seats. And they come on. And it couldn't have been, I mean, I give all my props to those guys. Because it couldn't have been a good atmosphere at all. Because people were still streaming in, going to their seats, talking, you know, getting popcorn, pretzels, whatever the fuck it was, right? Everyone's walking about. And the English Beat come on, you know, the lights are still on. And they're trying to do their set. No, the English Beat were better than they were when we saw them at Punk Rock Bowling. They did all that.
I don't believe I saw them at Punk Rock Bowling.
Yeah, you did. We saw them. You just weren't very impressed. Yeah.
It's not really my thing.
They only played for about 40 minutes at Punk Rock Bowling.
Yeah. Not really my thing, but...
I mean, they were great. The only original member is Dave Wakeling, the original singer-guitarist.
Yeah.
He had a whole new band. He had like 8 people in the band with him, including his daughter. So, you know, and they did all their hits. They did a really fucking good job under the circumstances.
What are their hits?
Mirror in the Bathroom. Save It for Later. You'd know them if you heard them.
Okay. Well,
because they were all over MTV back in the day.
Okay.
So they did all their hits, and, you know, they had a guy that was doing the toasting/rapping thing alongside, you know, trying to get the audience, and he was really doing his best to get the audience into it. And after what, with those seated venues, you're never quite sure what to do, what the etiquette is. You know, it's like being on a plane. Do you put your seat back or do you not put your seat back, right? So people are, should I get up? Should I not get up?
Neil, I only fly discount airliners. The seats do not recline.
The seats don't recline?
No,
awesome. So, but anyway, so, you know, about halfway through the set, when people were feeling a bit more lubricated or whatever and the lights went down, people did get up in their seats and start dancing to the English Beat. So they did get people going, and the sound was fantastic. Probably the best saxophone player I've ever heard live. So they were true professionals. They did their job, and they did a really, really good job of getting the crowd kind of amped up for Adamant. Now, what a crowd. I mean, you know how old I am. I was probably one of the youngsters there.
Oh, boy.
This was a weird and old
fucking
crowd.
Dude, is it like
crowd.
That last Rolling Stones tour was sponsored by AARP?
It might as well have been, seriously, given discounts. People that obviously hadn't been to gigs in probably 25 years or something, you know?
It's so annoying because they don't know how to behave themselves. They don't know how to act.
Right. you know, and people, you know, and it's the auditorium theater. It's not particularly loud, but people had the earplugs in and stuff. It was bizarre. A couple of guys dressed up as Adamant from back in the day, you know, which with the full fucking hat and everything, just short fat guys with the hat
like
and everything.
Looked like some kind of a gay space pirate.
Like a bad Renaissance fair kind of thing going on. It was just fucking bizarre with face paint on. Just very interesting. So
I miss that.
He comes on. And I knew straight away, I was like, oh, this isn't going to be so good. The sound was bad. It was weird. The sound was crystal clear for the English beat. But for Adamant, the sound was weird. Because he has two drummers. And at the beginning, he comes on to, like, Kings of the Wild Frontier or something. And even the guitarist and the bass player are beating on, like, bass drums. So they got, like, four drums, basically, going on. And they completely blew out the speakers or something. Because it just sounded like shit. And his voice just couldn't carry it anymore. It was kind of sad. It was,
So how old did he say he was? He's not 70, right?
He's, like, 68, 69, something like that.
Yeah, pushing 70. Yeah. Okay.
He still looked pretty good at a distance, but then when you...
Don't we all, buddy?
See him when he wasn't moving. You could see he had long gray hair under his bandana, under his hat. And
he wasn't wearing his big pirate hat?
He was wearing a different kind of hat. He was wearing a hat, though, to cover up probably his bald spot, so, which is fine. It is what it is, right?
You know,
age catches up with all of us.
I talked about how I read a book recently. Do I have it in front of me here? It was that oral history of British... of punk, and it was all British, and like I didn't realize that Adamant was like big in the like bondage and S&M culture when he first came out. Like that was his thing, right? Like he was
So he was very in with the sex crowd. Sex being Malcolm McLaren's shop, right?
Yeah.
So he was big with that. Even Jordan used to sing with them. One of the workers from Sex used to
the come famous on stage Jordan.
And, yeah, okay. Sing Vaseline with him and stuff. Not Vaseline. Huh. Beat My Guest, Xerox, or.
I don't know any of these songs, so I'll take your word for it.
Yeah. But anyway, so he came out and did a couple of the hits, and the hits just sounded awful. Alan, I know you enjoyed it, but I'm sorry, mate. They were just bad. He just couldn't carry those hits off at all. I don't know if the key was wrong to his voice.
He maybe never saw him. That's always a you know, if you've seen a band be really good and then they're kind of bad, I think you always have a different perspective than somebody who never saw a band before, you know.
Sure.
I go to see these horrible No Effects shows. It was like, oh, they were so great. I'm like, dude, they were terrible, but they don't have a reference point when they were ever good, you know.
Yeah.
So
I mean, all I can think is when the hits were originally done, his voice was higher than it is now, so he just couldn't carry it off in the key.
He dropped a half step, and it makes everything sound a little weird.
And he couldn't really dance anymore. He really wasn't moving very well. He'd do like a half spin and almost fall over. It was just kind of awkward.
Dude does not. He doesn't have Gary Newman's chops. It doesn't sound like.
There you
like.
Go. No, you're right. But then, so get this though. It was really interesting. So it was a greatest hit set, right? He wasn't like he didn't do an album or anything. It was a greatest hit set.
Well, listen, dude, they're at this fancy schmancy theater in the theater district of Chicago. You can't go out there playing the obscure S&M tunes.
Well, he did though. That was what was interesting about it. So he straps a guitar on, which he never normally plays guitar, right? He's doing his thing at the front of the stage. He straps a guitar on, and he did throughout the set. He did like four or five of those old 77. songs.
Adam and the Ants songs.
And he seemed very much happier. He could carry those songs off, especially because he was wearing the guitar.
Well, so, they were more rudimentary, of course, too,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, but him and his voice worked, and it seemed like he really enjoyed it. So they did Xerox, they did Red Scab, which was a fucking obscure B-side.
Yeah, I never heard it.
Car Trouble, they did Xerox. They did all these old songs, and like I say, he seemed much more comfortable singing those old songs than he did doing Strip, for example. Or Prince Charming or something, which just didn't work at all. It just didn't work. So I'm actually going to play. So when he did Beat My Guest, which is actually probably one of my favorite Adam and the Ants songs, which the Epoxies actually covered. So I wasn't expecting that at all. So when the drum beat started for Beat My Guest, I got all fucking super psyched and was like grabbing the seat in front of me, which again was my tattoo artist. So he turned around kind of pissed off because I was fucking grabbing his seat and jumping about. But anyway, so I'm going to play Beat My Guest by Adamant back from the early days. Beat My Guest.
It's a great name for a song.
Yeah. Great song. That was Adam and the Ants there with Beat My Guest. So he played the last time I saw him at the Vic, which was actually, it turned out when I went looking for it, that was pre-pandemic. It was 2019. Like, to me, it just seemed like a couple years ago, but it was actually 5 years ago.
Yeah.
But he played for I think over 2 hours that time. So I have to say,
did you make it the whole time?
Well, yes, I did. But 45 minutes in, I was looking at my watch going, dude, I don't know if I want to stay for this. I mean, that's how awkward it was being. You know,
and you thought about how much those tickets cost.
The sound wasn't great. His voice wasn't great. It was just kind of embarrassing, to be honest. But he actually only ended up playing like an hour and a half, which was fine. And that includes the encore. And the fact that it made it more bearable for me was, like I said, he was doing these old songs playing guitar. And those really worked well. So that made it more bearable to me, but the whole thing was just it was weird, and I hope I don't know if I'd ever even go see him again, to be honest. But I certainly wouldn't go see him at that theater. Now, if you think back a year ago, I went to see Suede and who was that other band from Wales? Fuck, Manic Street Preachers. I went to see them play at that same theater, and that was fucking fantastic. So I can't blame the theater for how lackluster I thought this was. And, you know, other people seem to really like it. I don't know. Just I guess I had
something like to base it on. It's all about what do you got to compare it to.
Yeah.
Well, that's, you know, it's funny you say that, because, like, you know, I said that about those Bouncing Souls shows too. It's like, I feel like I'm probably doing this for the last time. Mm-hmm. Like some of them, you know, there's bands I'll always go see, you know, I'll always go see Social Distortion, I'll always go see blah blah blah, but yeah, it's like, yeah, that's kind of, I mean, and Adam Ante, what are the odds that he rallies and, you know, gets good again or gets better, you know? Oh, the chances are he's going one way down.
You know what, if I was him, I would prune down, I would, because he had like 7 people in his band, 2 drummers, 2 guitarists, bass player, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
I would prune down his band, make it simpler, and I would also stick to maybe a lot of those older songs, the ones he enjoys singing rather than the ones he has to sing. You know what I mean? So if he was going to do it, I would do that.
You're not, listen, dude, you're not playing the theater district with playing the all obscure stuff, you know?
Right. Yeah, so we'd have to play smaller clubs and stuff, which would, you know, yeah. Or like the Vic again. The Vic or the Metro would be perfect, you know?
Yeah.
So that would be...
Yeah, no, not exactly small clubs.
I mean, exactly.
Nice size clubs.
He's not playing Reggie's small side, right? But anyway, so that was that. So we got out of there because it was 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock. We probably got out of there by 9:30. So
nice.
That was, yeah, so that was great. Now,
you're home by 9:45.
Outside the theater, because again, it's a theater district. I don't know if they do this in Grand Rapids downtown after this show. They'll always have a group of kids playing with like plastic buckets. Like playing the plastic buckets like drums, right? And I have to say, the kids outside playing the plastic buckets, the drums sounded better than the band that sounded. So I actually gave them some money, which I don't normally do.
Threw them a couple of those £1 coins.
I threw it at them. Get the fuck out. Yeah. But anyways, it was a fun... Oh, and the best thing about it, the best thing about the whole fucking night, and you're going to love this, because we didn't eat dinner.
Yeah.
Driving home. And
just like, starving.
What the fuck? It's like 10 o'clock by this time. What's open? Oh, there's a White Castle. I haven't had White Castle in 30 years, 25
how's your,
years.
How's your bowels,
dude? The White Castle was fucking fantastic.
Really?
It was fantastic. I'd forgotten how good those fucking things are. I think it's because of the steamed buns. But the white, like, to people, English people, or whoever's listening to us that don't know what White Castle are, they were the original sliders. Those small individual sized burgers.
You buy your burgers in like a suitcase. I'll take like a suitcase full of burgers.
You get a bag. We got a bag of 20 burgers, basically.
And then they slide right back out your ass as soon as you eat them.
Because the buns are steamed, so they're nice and soft. And it's also like, I think they put sugar in the bread too, because the bread tastes fucking great. And the patties, I don't even know if it's meat, but it's got onions. It's got onions all over it, and they just tasted fucking great. I would have them again any day.
I haven't had it for years.
Seriously, you'd be surprised, I think, how good. Plus,
I thought you were going to say Taco Bell, because Taco Bell's always open late.
Plus, we were talking about how expensive things are before. I agree, McDonald's and stuff is really expensive. White Castle was still a fucking deal. A bag of like 20 sliders and 2 drinks and fries was like less than $20.
Cheaper than an enema. Cheaper than a professional enema.
Yes. So then I went in and got my got it checked. But no, that was almost the best part of the night.
Listen, dude, I got a ticket for The Damned in June.
Oh, you did? Okay, cool.
So I will come down and see you, and maybe we can go get some White Castle.
Yes. I would fucking love that. Now,
I'm gonna get like my own suitcase worth of burgers, just like a giant box.
Yeah.
Nah, I can't. I got to get my beach bod on, man. It's time to. I'm going on my anniversary trip in like 6 months. It's time.
I don't think the bag of burgers is going to affect you. I'm afraid.
Time to tighten it up a little bit. It's the 17 tall boys I had earlier.
I don't think that's helping.
Well, which makes me think, while we're talking about it, our friend Aaron, who's done a bunch of artwork for us, lives down there, and he invited us to maybe come hang in this house before, so I hope we can make that happen, because he's done another flyer for our next event with Matt at Bonus Pints, and I think it's great, man. I love his artwork.
He's very talented. He is. Yeah.
So everybody check it out. I'll put it up on the Facebook page.
So when is that? It's June 22nd. Saturday, June 22nd at Logansport, Indiana at Bonus Pints. It's a free show. Super Suckers, Don't Wanna's, and... Flamingo Nosebleed are going to be playing outside Bonus Pints on June 22nd. It's co-sponsored by us. And Yeah, it should be a hell of a fucking time.
It's going to be a good time. Alan, Dr. Disk, rather, the mysterious, no one knows his name, Dr. Disk, is going to be there. We're going to have vinyl giveaways. We're going to do the whole thing. It's going to be fun.
Flexi giveaways? Like, with the, yes. With the Pirates Press stuff, did they give you a bunch of flexies or no?
You know, I wonder if someone heard me complaining about the flexies, because I never get flexies anymore with stuff. Unless I actually order stuff, like my freebies, I never get flexies anymore. So maybe I stepped on some toes there. And I probably still have like 10 of them at the house at the moment. But,
yeah, I have a bunch too. I have a bunch.
So anyway, everybody should come to that. It's going to be a real good time. I had the Circle Jerks Descendants tour has been going on. They picked up like a second tier of it and they went down south and they played like the East Coast. I think they did like Baltimore. I think they were in Baltimore last night.
Dude, when is Keith Morris going to give it up? I'm sorry.
I mean, what else is he going to do, dude? I think he still couch surfs. I don't think he's got a 401k.
Do off or something again, though, or something. Or do a flag again. Do something different, because that thing with, Circle thing Jerks with, thing
okay,
is...
Okay, so you're 70 years old like Keith Morris. You do off. What are you doing? You're traveling in a van. You're playing 300 people clubs. At least with the Circle Jerks, you make some real money. You know, they're playing theaters and stuff.
I'll do the flag thing, then.
That'd be cool, but yeah. I don't know. I think the Circle Jerks is his... Well, he is doing off. There was a time where it was either or, but I mean, he did off like end of last year, right? And then he picked up with the Circle Jerks, and I don't know, dude. Be kind to Keith, or he'll tell you a story.
We saw that like 2 years ago, right? I mean, and he's still fucking doing it.
Yeah. Well, it's funny how many of these tours will have the exact same lineup like 2-3+ years in a row. Because I remember last year I went and saw Life of Agony and Sick of It All. They had toured the year before and the year before. And so, I mean, there's not even a different opening band. It's Descendants, Circle Jerks, Adolescence. It's the same lineup I saw in Milwaukee when Scott and I went and hung out with Mark last year.
Right.
It is kind of strange. I don't know if it's... I don't know, dude. Everything's... It's expensive to tour now. The bands don't make a ton of money. I think it's just if they figure out something that works, you know.
Well, the t-shirts are probably like $40 or some shit, and that they got that stupid new split single.
Well, it's funny you say that because I really want that split single. I went on the Trust site. I was going to buy it, but I was irritated by the shipping prices. And you're talking about like a $15 7-inch to start with, you know.
Right.
So my friend Chris was talking about trying to grab me one at the Baltimore show last night, but I haven't heard from him. I assume if he'd got me one, he would have sent me a picture of it all excited. So I assume I might be out of luck, but we'll see.
I think they said, anyway. I think I saw somebody post that there's the limits to 100 every show or something like that.
Yeah, one per person. But yeah, I mean, you go back to the line, who's going to know? But that being said, the lines were insane in Milwaukee. And I think I mentioned this when I went to the show, but they were handing out merch menus.
Dude, that's...
I got to tell you, Neil, it's a real cool collectible. Like, I bought some Descendants records, and I took my merch menu and I threw it in the Descendants record. So someday when I'm dead, someone's going to look at that record and like, oh, man, Descendants are going to pull that out and go, what the hell is this? This is so cool.
Right in the dumpster.
Yeah, my kids. Gotta get dad's crap out of here.
Yep. Goddamn, all this stuff's heavy. What the fuck was he thinking?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Throw that shit away. So, talking about that damn show.
Yeah.
So, Lydia actually is supposed to be coming back in town.
Yep, you were saying that.
Yeah, because Chris is on. He left for his big 8-month deployment. He's in the Navy. And so, Lydia's... her lease, I think it ends in early July. So, because she's there by herself right now, she's actually thinking of coming home in May. So she might actually be here May, June,
like
July.
Moving out or just coming for a visit?
No, moving out. Moving and living with us for like 3 or 4 months until Chris comes back.
Man, what are you... The problem with that is you got to move all that stuff and she's got a car and all that. What are you going to do?
No, she's going to put it in. She's going to put it in storage over there. She's already got a storage locker. Yeah, because Chris...
Oh, so she's anticipating staying in... San Diego.
She's just waiting for Chris to come back in October, November.
She might as well if she's there by herself. I mean, why not?
So hopefully, you know, I'll be going to some of these shows in the summer. Lydia will be coming along with you know. So.
That's cool.
Because Laura will go. She's a good sport, but I know some other stuff she doesn't particularly enjoy.
Yeah, that's you know, my always the same way, sort of. Like, I can, like, if I'm in a pinch, she can come with me. And but she generally doesn't care that much. And if it's a local show where I know a lot of people, I often leave her standing while I.
Yeah, you like to talk. Yeah,
I'm a social butterfly. Yes,
you are. Social. So, hey, why don't you play another song?
All right, I'm gonna play another song that I didn't have on my list, Neil.
Oh, you fucker!
I'm gonna play a Strung Out song. Okay. I think this is probably their best known song, but I'm not sure. But we're gonna do Strung Out, Bring Out Your Dead. That way, I can keep my whole like list that I gave you today intact next time.
All right, well that works, I guess. So, Strung Out. Now, which is this old stuff? Not of this new record?
Yeah, it's 90s.
Okay. Strung Out, Bring Out Your Dead. All right, so yeah, listen to this, and hopefully it's better than this new shit that they just put out.
Check out the metallic guitar riffing.
Voices wither and crack and die, ringing in my ear, would sing me softly to silence. Now is all I hear, inspiration finally left me. I don't wanna think about it, I dust myself. A distraction is a pain, and my emotions to protect myself. And I can't feel a fucking thing, I'm dead and dreaming, I've tried to live. But I played it safe instead, I'm just slaying the vices now.
That was Strung Out with Bring Out Your Dead. So Tom, tell me something about that band, because I really don't know anything about
them. I don't really know anything about them either. I think they're SoCal. They were either the first or one of the very first bands signed to the early Fat Records.
Oh boy, okay.
Label. So yeah.
You know what I got? I got recently. Do you know are you familiar with the well, you know Rodney Bingenheimer, obviously.
And, get off the air.
Yeah. So Rodney on the Rock, he did these early, like 81, 82, 83, these series of compilations with like a lot of, like the first times, like Channel 3 were on record. Well, the first time a lot of those early so
dude was a real real tastemaker in the early days of LA punk, no question.
So the cool thing about those was now, I always had Rodney on the Rock Volume 3, which is fantastic. But the cool thing about those was, it not only was it a good compilation, Flipside made a special zine just for the album.
Mm.
So if you can find them with the zine inside, because it would have a blurb about the band and then the lyrics of the song they played, right? So,
sure.
But they're really difficult to find with the zine inside, because people probably pulled it out and then who the fuck knows what they did with it. So, I've always had Rod the Underrock Volume 3 with the zine, but I just recently found on Discogs Rod the Underrock Volume 2 with the zine inside. And it really wasn't that expensive. It was like $40. So, I was psyched to get that. So, I just got that. And they got the first Skids album, the British, the English release. And I got a Meteors album I didn't have, which was after the first batch of like six albums. This was like their first on an independent, well, maybe not the first, but anyway, it was like from the late 80s. Unfriendly, Undead, and something. It was
their album titles are sort of interchangeable at this point.
Yeah, basically. So, Undead, Unfriendly, and Unstoppable. So, very dead. Mm. Yeah. Mm. So I got that. I bought a lot of albums off Discogs recently. The prices have been good for some reason. So
I've been trying to keep it to a low roar. I do plan to go out on Record Store Day and get some stuff. Mm-hmm. I just ordered some stuff from Get Hip. And I don't know. I got to buy eyes on a few things. But, man, I've gotten so many. I have a list, Neil. Let me pull it up my phone real quick. Of new releases that I have so far in 2024. And I can't imagine the last time I had this many new records going into, you know, only like 3 months into the year.
Yeah, so I agree. It's been a great year so far. It's been really
fucking
good. New records
from Brigada Vendetta, Burnt Mill Ghosts, Coxbar, The Complicators, The Darbs, Doc Rotten, The Drowns, The Pissed, Plizkin, and Starving Wolves. I have new records from all these bands already, and I'm super excited about the new 45 Adapters record. I don't know if you know 45 Adapters.
Oh, yeah.
Heart's Best Band, kind of a skinhead, a little more danceable kind of music. And also, a new album's coming out from a band, Death Wish, from Wisconsin, that I really like. It's like a Motorhead. I mean, that's the best way to describe it. They're very Motorheady. So, yeah, man. So I have literally like 10... 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, a dozen albums that I like have come out in 3 months.
Did you mention The Pissed on there?
Yes.
And did you mention The Drowns?
Yes.
Okay. So I've got Doc Rotten, The Drowns, Bloodstains, Twin Temple, The Chisel, Hillbilly Moon Explosion, The Complicators.
Hillbilly Moon Explosion? What the heck is that?
Rockabilly thing.
Gotcha.
Burnt Mill Ghosts. Yeah. So, yep. I mean, it's been a great year so far. I mean, it's going to...
I said the Burnt Mill Ghosts, didn't I? Yeah,
you did. You did. It's going to take a lot to move Doc Rotten from being my best album of the year so far.
Boy, that's
love
top,
that record.
Top three, man. Top three, definitely. It's really fucking good. I don't even want to say it's so hard.
Yeah.
And who knows? I mean, the Raging Nathans might have another album this year. They can't stop making records as fast as they can, as far as I can tell. Or who knows what else, you know...
I'd imagine Coxbar like is going to be up there too.
We're finally coming out of COVID. You know, it just wasn't. I hadn't been. I know you'd been more excited than me the last few years. I hadn't been blown away the last few years. Like I felt like I don't know. I think that first year, like 2020, the first year we did our countdown, like I thought was the strongest year. Since then, I thought it's been decent, but I mean, it's not hard to find 10 great records.
True.
But when you got 30 vying for 10 that are like legit contenders, I don't know. Maybe it'll die off. Maybe we won't get a lot of great summer releases. But do you ever listen to that Starving Wolves?
I listened to the first one. And
they only have one full length, yeah.
Oh, they do. So that was from a couple years ago, right? Like three years ago.
Probably a few years ago now.
Yeah. It was okay. I mean,
so the thing with them, I will say, and I've only listened to it once, and I really didn't know them. So they're Latino, obviously. So there's like a Latino influence. They're not afraid to use like a little bit of traditional Latino, even like cowboy music or whatever. Plus, plus like metal riffs. It's just very, it's very interesting. Like I haven't quite dismantled it yet. I actually have a big pile of records on my like turntable that I need to review, like that people have sent me that I need to get to. So if I owe you a review, hang tight. I'll get there eventually.
I don't know if you remember, but when we went to Punk Rock Bowling that one year. I think that was it. The last night was it the Sunday night when we came out, and they paraded us through that casino because they had all the roads blocked or something. Mm. Starving Wolves were playing some kind of outdoor set. Were they? One of those. Not actually at Punk Rock Bowling, but somewhere on the street somewhere. So, yeah.
I think Ricky likes them, right? Like Ricky Frankel. I feel like they've been brought to our attention.
Ricky's an odd duck. I don't know, man. He's old.
Listen, it's not his fault he was born too late. I mean, there are things that are his fault, but that he chooses. But, you know, they can't be faulted for being born too late. And you know, I've always said, listen, I'm more than happy to welcome people who got into punk through Green Day into the fold, but they better keep digging once they get there, right?
Exactly. Keep digging, you bastards.
You backwards baseball hat wearing punks.
So obviously the Digits album is coming out on Record Store Day, the new best of double album, and which we covered in depth with the Rick Sims interview in the last episode. But anyway, so coming out of our episode, I said to Rick, well, we live in the same fucking town, so let's hang out sometime.
Yeah.
So, and he'd mentioned as well that he had a box full of old Digit shirt in his basement. Because the one I have, the old one from the 90s I have, doesn't fit me anymore. Because I used to buy extra large and everything. So he's like, oh yeah, I've got a large shirt here, I'll give it to you. And I said, well, I've got a Punk Till I Die shirt for you. So we met up. Now,
well, if he wins like a, what's the theater awards? Like a golden, no, what's the like Broadway.
Well, he does have awards. He told me about that.
But what's it called? What are they called?
Oh, not the Grammys. The
Emmys?
Whatever the fuck it's called. No, I don't remember.
Peabody? I don't know. Whatever it is. Anyway, Rick, if you win like the most prestigious theater award and you actually get to be on TV, you should wear a tuxedo jacket with your Punk Till I Die t-shirt. That would look badass.
So anyway, so I was like, you know, well, let's meet at a bar. And he's like, no, let's meet at this coffee shop. So I'm like, fine. You know, if he's alcohol-free or whatever, I'm not going to fucking force it, right? So I met up with him. And dude, I hadn't seen him in 35 years, I figured out. It was like late 80s the last time I saw the guy. So I was a little bit nervous. You never know how that's going to go, right?
Sure.
But it was fantastic. We sat and just shut the shit for an hour, talked about the old days, talked about what we're doing now, you know, because we really didn't know much about each other's lives. So,
sure. Who would have thought you both turned out to be respectable citizens?
Well, that was the interesting thing about it. Was that, you know, coming at it from different ways, certainly. I'm in IT, he's in the theater. He does the soundscapes for the theater, is the way he describes it. And I'm like, you know, he's like an independent contractor. I mean, he's employed by the Looking Glass Theater, but he can work for any theater at all. And I'm like, dude, you should get employed by some big place. And he's like, I can't because I don't have a college degree. So it's funny, we face the same thing in my industry too. Even though you have all these decades of experience, you can't get a job with some places because they demand that you have a college degree. And it's just so fucking silly.
Freaking eggheads.
Yeah. Like my American history degree has anything to do with what I do now for a living. It's just so fucking stupid. But anyway, it was just awesome. It was just a really cool time. And he had to go because he was doing something for a high school musical somewhere. But hopefully I'll hang with him again because it was just fucking awesome. Just especially looking back over the clouds of time, the mists of time, as to what we were doing back in the day, you know, and the things we did and the things we said. It was just super interesting.
That's cool, man.
Yeah.
It is funny how that can happen where you, you know, you don't see somebody for a long time and it's just the years just drop away. You know, I do have a couple friends like that. Now, I've not gone 35 years without seeing them, but where you just, it's like, you know, you just pick right back up. It's good to have friends like that, you know. Some friendships need, like, constant maintenance. Mm-hmm. But other friendships, you know, it's nice to know people like that. It doesn't matter. When you see each other, you see each other and, you know. So that's cool, man.
I'm gonna play another song because I've only played two tonight. I'm gonna play another Adamant song. So this is another one from the early days. This was the third single because it went Young Parisian, Xerox, and then Car Trouble. So this was just before he started doing the whole double drum thing, the Indian beat thing. So this is Adamant with Car Trouble.
I'm gonna take this opportunity to go take a leak.
Go on then, my friend.
Master!
right. That was...
What did I miss, dude? What did I miss?
Oh, nothing. That was Adam and the Ants with Car Trouble. Their third A-side, right before he started doing the Kings of the Wild Frontier thing. So, yeah, when that's when everything broke massive for him. And it's actually a very interesting story. Like, he started doing this, he wanted to do this Burundi Beat thing, and Malcolm McLaren was his manager at the time, but Malcolm McLaren, I guess, wanted something with a girl singer. So he basically took all of Adam Ant's band, stole them, put them with Annabella LeWin, and formed Bow Wow Wow. So at that point, Adam was left completely on his fucking own, so then he had to find a whole new band to do his... to do his things. That's when he got Marco and the two drummers and all that kind of shit. So yeah, so I don't think Malcolm is very well thought of by Adam. At least he wasn't back then. Maybe they patched things up later on. But yeah, Malcolm McLaren.
I don't believe that Malcolm really cares what anybody thinks about him at this point, huh?
Well, not anymore. He doesn't. He'd be dead for 10 fucking years. But I don't think he ever cared, to tell you the truth. I mean, he basically killed the New York Dolls, right? And
Well, he's definitely a what was an impresario, he didn't care about anybody, but you know, his mission was more important than any one individual.
That's true.
If he really had a mission.
Yeah.
I don't know. I read a lot of these books, and it's really hard to tell. You know, it's just like Johnny Lydon now. John Lydon talking in retrospect, you know, about a lot of things that I'm pretty sure. You know, he sort of reinvented the way things went over a lot of this stuff. The quote that I love that's going around for him now is like, "How could punk be dead? I'm still alive." Did you see that?
Yeah. And getting the left wingers all fucking fired up again.
Pretty much.
I mean, he is completely full of shit, but he's, you know, I think it's awesome. I think it's absolutely awesome.
Like I said, you know, somewhere in the last 15, 20 years, punk's not allowed to be provocative anymore, and that's why I wonder, you know, I don't know what the future holds for it.
It's a very strange scene right now. If there is even a scene, I don't know if there is even a scene.
Maybe these old guys are right, you know, maybe punk did die in 79 or 78 or whatever.
Yeah,
the original punks, they're like, yeah, the scene pretty much died when the Pistols were on the Bill Grundy show. That's when they think punk died.
So it was punk. 77. Bill Grundy was 76. So it was punk for about 6 months then.
Yeah, exactly.
Actually reading a really interesting book right now that actually one of our listeners turned me on to, Ben from Leeds. A couple of weeks ago, he texted me, because he texts me sometimes on a Saturday when he's by himself. And of course, it's evening there, or late afternoon, and it's morning for me. But he was in Leeds in a pub by himself reading this book. And I'm like, that sounds like the fucking perfect Saturday. Sitting by yourself, having a bevy, and reading a book about the Buzzcocks. But anyway, it's written, it's called 16 Again, and it's written by Paul Hanley, who was a drummer from The Fall. The many drummers from The Fall. And Paul Hanley was a huge Buzzcocks fan, or I should say a huge Pete Shelley fan. So it goes really in depth on, you know, the Manchester scene and all that kind of thing, and it's very critical of Steve Diggle, which I appreciate, and and very, very much pro Pete Shelley. But it's a really, really good book, and I ordered it from England, actually, the hardcover, so it cost me an arm and a leg to get sent over, but I'm almost finished with it. So I think we're going to try and get him on the show. I don't know how much he'll open up about it, because he's still involved in the music scene over there, but you know, it's a really, really good book. So if you get a chance to see that one, pick it up and buy it if you're a Buzzcocks fan, because it'll. I actually told him to listen to our current episode to see if he agrees with what we say about the later Buzzcocks albums. Yeah.
I also did quite a bit of reading on vacation. I love laying on the beach reading a book, man. That's something I absolutely, one of my favorite things, just peaceful, you know?
Yep.
So I read an entire book that Dr. Disc gave me called Crate Digger, which is about this guy named Bob Surin, I think his name is. He was a a Florida guy, and so it was kind of Florida centric, but he was an obsessive record collector. So he kind of does his life story while also kind of getting into like some records he's obsessed over the years. It was interesting. You know, some of it was the mainstream stuff. You know, some of it was, you know, Nevermind the Bollocks or Raw Power or some of these bigger bands, but there's a lot of obscure Florida stuff. And it was a pretty good read, pretty light read. I didn't know the guy at all, and it got pretty personal. Mm-hmm. And then I read half a Chuck Klosterman book. You know Chuck Klosterman?
Mm-mm. Who's that?
He's a pop culture writer, but he's like my age, like within a year or something, and he grew up listening to hair metal, and he's funny as hell. Mm. Yeah, Chuck Klosterman, his name is, he's very funny. He's, like I said, political commentary, just a wise ass, just funny stuff. And I bought three books while I was on vacation. One of them was a different Nirvana book, which is called Serving the Servants, which I haven't read. I'm looking forward to that because I read the Mig one of his main biography was called, I can't remember now. But there's a big, thick biography I read it. My son had it. And then I bought a Johnny Cash biography. And then I bought this heavy metal history, but it's funny. I can't remember what the name of that was. So we hit books a million. I bought a bunch of like $5, $7 books.
The Johnny Cash one has to be super fucking long, doesn't it?
So this one is actually written by Johnny. So it's an older book. I'm sure he, you know, glazes over his, you know, shortcomings over the years. But I've read a lot of Johnny Cash stuff, actually. So anyway, yeah, no, I... That's cool though, man. We should do the Punk Tie Dad Book Club.
Yeah,
where we pick a book and we all read it, and then we like do a Zoom call.
That's a good idea, actually.
That's a Patreon thing, right?
And actually, you know what I'm doing right now too, because for those that don't know, on our every 100 episodes, we have 10 of our loyal listeners on. To do a short, like 10-15 minute interview with them to find out who they are, what they do, etc., etc. And they
why they waste their time listening to us,
yeah. And then they pick a song, and that's that. So I'm starting to go through some names for the episode 300 because we're within 20 of episode 300. Oof. So sometime midsummer, I would say.
These ones are sort of a pain in the neck because they require a lot of editing on your part, plus they require a lot of different recording time. So.
Yeah, but we'll
see what we can do.
We'll figure it out. I've got some names in mind, Tom. If you have some people that you think you'd like we can certainly. I reached out to a couple of people to see. Funny, some people weren't interested. I thought that was interesting.
Well, I know last time we got a couple people who are real active in the group have been listening to us from the beginning, and some of them are a little reticent about it, like a little. I don't know, just seemed like nervous about it. But I know, like, the last one, I won't say his name, but, like, the last one, the last guy we recorded, like, I think he was a little nervous about it, but I think we put people at ease, right? I think once they get on with us, it literally is just, like, sitting down at the bar and having a beer. It's not, you know, we're not going to grill you.
And people got to remember, too, it's not live. So if you do fuck something up, I'll let it out. And
no, you won't. You'll leave it, and then we'll mock
them. And then we'll mock them mercilessly.
Exactly.
Yeah, no shit. So that's gonna be coming up, I guess, at episode 300. And you know what else we haven't done in a while? We haven't done listeners' bands in a while.
Yeah, I tried that for a while, but I got bored with it. Like a whole episode. That's right. Remember, I was doing that thing. I can't remember what it was called, Best of Spam or something.
Yeah, I'm not talking about Best of Spam. I'm talking about where listeners actually send in their band stuff. So it's
that would be fun.
Not like the people that flood our fucking mailbox with all kinds of stupid.
Well,
shit.
That was the problem. Is we get so much spam now, yeah. And I don't. It's hard to differentiate.
They'd have to reach out to us in the group.
Yeah. Like we were talking about the new Darbs record, we definitely play a track from that, and some of the other we could play a DUI's track.
So last Friday in Chicago was actually interesting. I was actually supposed to go and see Kate Clover at Cobra Lounge.
Yep. You're supposed to, but you didn't.
Rick went out of town. He went to Florida because normally I go with him to see Kate Clover. So he went to Florida.
You don't want Laura to see Oglinger.
You know what? She looked. Never mind. I'm not gonna say anything. But I get kind of frustrated by her because she doesn't seem to be taking the whole thing seriously. She just seems to. I'm guessing independently wealthy is what I'm guessing. Because she just seems to do shit. Like, every couple of years, she'll kind of do a couple of dates and kind of, you know.
She's not doing, like, the Susie Moon thing where she's just busting her ass.
Right, yeah. Exactly. She just seems to do a couple of things whenever she feels like it and whatever. It's fine. So she's putting out a new album and she did this tour. It just seems kind of half-assed. So anyway, I was like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm not doing it. But anyway, the same night, I guess, what's Rev Norb's of the band?
Oh, Smart Choppers.
Smart Choppers were playing Cubby Bear with Space Age Zeros and somebody else. Yeah. And then there was another show.
Marked Men were playing somewhere.
At Empty Bottle. Marked Men were playing at Empty Bottle. So I guess that Smart Choppers, I guess the crowd was very, very disappointing at Cubby Bear.
Well, they're I didn't know Cubby Bear had shows anymore, for one thing.
Well, they do. And here's the problem, though, as well. You can't do it during baseball season if there's a home game.
Yeah.
Because you just can't, because there's literally no parking.
Well, I don't think anybody would book you anyway, because the bar is going to be so full of just people drinking for game. There's no reason to have a band.
Right. So that really surprised me that they did that, because there was a game that day.
Oh, really?
Now, it was a noon game, but even so, that sometimes doesn't matter, because people will just stay around there drinking all fucking day.
Everybody's home and passed out by the time the show starts.
Well, maybe.
Well, The Smart Choppers are a fun band. They're kind of like a spazzy Devo, like more spazzy Devo.
Hmm.
I saw them just once, but they're fun. So, anyway.
And aren't Boris the Sprinkler supposed to be doing something soon?
They're doing a short East Coast tour with the Ergs. Yeah, we should. Yeah, everybody check that out. I don't have the dates in front of me, but you East Coasters, they don't play much anymore. It might be one of your only chances. So, and the Ergs are cool as hell too. So it's definitely worth checking out, dude. I'm bursting with information right now. Like I got some half like sloppy information, but we're not really in a position to share it yet. We got a lot of cool stuff in the works. Like I said, I'm coming down to you to see the Damned and the Dictators. And then I think, I haven't really figured out for sure yet, but the Dagle Abortions, they're supposedly going to do a U.S. tour, like a major U.S. tour, but, and they're going to play Reggie's, but I think, but they're playing Windsor on a Saturday night, which, if you know, I'm sure you do, being the American history expert that you are, the geographical expert you are.
No.
Windsor is just across the river from Detroit.
But that's still like a 4-hour drive for you, wouldn't it?
Three hours.
Yeah, that sounds horrible.
Well, that's what I do. I drive that every time I come to see you. More than that. It takes me 3.5 hours to get to Evanston.
Yeah, but that'll be Reggie's, and then you can stay at the fucking Ho Chi Minh Hotel.
Yeah. Well, but I think they're playing Reggie's like on a Thursday, so I think this is more convenient. Time to get the old Canada stamp in the passport, I think.
Dude.
I haven't really worked out the details of it yet, but...
So, okay, you know what? You should play a last song. You've only played 3 songs. Hold on. How many songs have you played? You played Digits, you played Raging Nathans, you played Strung Out. That's it.
I'll tell you what. I need to go eat dinner, so I don't need another song. I'll let you have the last song.
5, 6, 7. Okay.
Have you played all 4?
No, I've only played 3. So, okay, so... But just,
well, I'll tell you what. You can have your last song. I'll save mine for next time.
You mentioned Devo.
Yes.
So do you know they're playing Chicago, right? In like a month.
Where are they playing at?
The Riviera.
Oh, that'd be cool.
Just down the street from the Aragon. So
yes, that would be cool.
I don't know if they're playing Michigan at all. I don't know if they're playing Detroit.
I didn't see any Michigan
like
shows.
That,
no.
But, so I guess that, even though there's still tickets available, so that kind of surprised me.
Hmm.
But
yeah, because they're supposed to be winding it down too.
Yeah, I thought they'd already stopped playing live shows, but I guess not. All right, well, I guess then, unless you've got anything else you want to talk about.
You know, I have lots that I want to talk about, Neil, but nothing that I can think about at the moment.
All right, buddy. Well, I'm going to play. Okay, so when I met up with Alan for that Drowned show.
Yep.
He gave me that stack of records.
Yep.
And one of the things he gave me was the first Government Issue album. And I'd forgotten how much I loved Government Issue.
Now, so, what is that? Boycott Stab? What's the name of the first album?
No, it's oh fucking! Now you've got me on the carpet.
It's not Joyride. Is it Joyride?
Do, do, do. Play amongst yourselves, everybody.
I don't know what the first one is. I have those massive compilations on Doctor Strange.
Yeah, Joyride. Thank you.
Joyride, okay.
Yeah, it is the first one from 1984. And these guys were so fucking ahead of their time. This, like, predates some of the later emo stuff. And it's just so fucking good, man. It is so good. Vastly underrated, these guys. Just vastly underrated. So, yeah, I'm going to play this song, Understand. From Joyride, and they were a big influence on Naked Raygun too. The government, Naked Raygun, love government issue. So yeah, this is a government issue with Understand. My last one tonight. All right, there was government issue there with Understand off of Joyride.
I could see them being a Naked Raygun influence. You know, Naked Raygun was a punk band, but they always had sort of a weird esotericness to them, and government issue kind of had the same thing, where it was never straight up. You know, there's always a little bit of weirdness or something. So that's cool.
Yeah, and there was a lot of melody to what they did.
Yep.
Yeah.
John Stab, gone too soon.
Yep. Indeed. Just like Pierre.
Yep. Yes. Enjoy. They're all dead, Neil. These are people who died.
Yeah, well, that's the thing about going to see some of these old bands. You might think it's kind of lame, but go see them while you can. Cause
pretty much. Go see that one surviving member.
They might be dead by this time next year.
Well, that's what, like, I know the Damned, you know, they got four of the five kind of classic members, right? Or three of the four, I guess.
Classic three of the members. Four, yeah. Three of the four. Yeah.
Dictators, I think, have the two, like, main guitar players.
Okay.
I don't think they have hands and dick. But, it should be cool. I can't remember. Lost my train of thought.
You know who I'm going to see next month? I'm going to see Joe Jackson.
Oh, I'm a big Joe Jackson fan, but he lost the plot after his first couple albums, didn't
he? He's playing in Evanston.
Do we need to do a deep dive into Joe Jackson?
And maybe. He's playing Evanston. And
it's going to be all that big band crap.
No, it's not. I think he does a greatest hit set. And then he does a set. His newest album is, get this. So, do you know, like, old-timey stuff, like 1910 kind of stuff? In the States, what the hell was it called? Vaudeville, it was called in the States, right?
Oh, Vaudeville. Yeah,
so, in England, it was called Music Hall. And he's done a whole album pretending to be a music hall singer from, like, the 1910s, which is actually really fucking funny. But anyway,
His next album is going to be a minstrel show.
It basically fucking is. It basically is. So he's doing half the show as Joe Jackson Greatest Hits, and then half the show was this music hall guy called Max Champion. So I'm actually, and it's a small theater in Evanston, believe it or not. Kind of looking forward to that.
The funny thing about Joe Jackson is his first two records are almost untouchable, fucking like perfect. Power pop, new wave records.
Yep.
So good, but the first time I heard him was probably closer to the mid-80s, I didn't know his early stuff, was like, you can't get what you want until you know what you want. It was like a top 40 hit in the 80s.
Yeah, he did like a whole jazz kind of thing. Yeah, it yeah.
I don't know where I think it was when Grand Rapids got like an alternative rock station like ahead of its time in the early 90s that short-lived. I think that's where I heard, like, you know, Is She Really Going Out With Him and Got the Time and all that cool stuff from that era, I'm the Man and all that. Yeah,
he had that huge album called Steppin' Out. Was it called Steppin' Out? Night and Day. Night and Day, it was called. It had Steppin' Out.
Into the night. Yeah, not a big fan of that.
Breaking Us in Two was a real tearjerker.
Oh, yeah.
He had a lot of very big hits there in, like, the mid-80s.
He played here at like a fancy outdoor amphitheater. I would like to see Joe Jackson, but I just know that, like I said, I really only want to hear the first couple of albums, and I know he's only going to play, you know, he's probably not going to play Happy Loving Couples, but.
Yeah, well, we'll see. So I wouldn't have gone if it was Chicago, because he's playing in Evanston. I was like, oh, fuck it. It's like 10 minutes from my house, you know.
Stumble home.
Yeah, exactly. So
Uber. There you go.
See what it's like, yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what. Yeah, I got a couple things coming up this month, but nothing big. I'm going to go see Pentagram, the old doom metal band, and I'm going to go see Soft Kill, who's like a goth band.
Yeah, Soft Kill, getting a lot of pub, yeah.
And it's funny because it's a weird show because the band opening for them is called Gum, G-U-M-M, and they're like a straight up hardcore punk band. So
I think I've seen them played on the punk channel on Sirius.
Could be.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm gonna go. So I got a couple shows, and the great thing is they're two nights in a row.
Okay.
Which I love. You know, you got nothing for a month, and then yeah, May we're going to see Social Distortion, Bad Religion in Detroit. And then June's going to heat up a little bit. So yeah, it's you know, it's slow but steady so far.
Yep. Okay. So playing out, you said you don't have a fourth song, but you.
Well, did. I mean, I can.
No. Hold a second. You mentioned the Angry Samoans. What song was it you played? You mentioned.
Oh, earlier? Get Off the Air.
Get Off the Air. Yep. And what song was I going to play? I don't remember that.
I don't know. Let's play that, dude. That's great. That's a great song to chase us off the air.
Yep. There you go.
Angry Samoans. Get Off the Air. You freaking something square. I can't remember the words. God, the Angry Samoans are so good, dude.
They are. That first album is fucking untouchable.
17 minutes long. It's so good. No, that's the second album. Back from Samoa is the second album.
Yeah, the first one is kind of more of an EP.
Yeah, it's got like, it's like 9 minutes long.
Yeah. Sure, it's the same cover as an antipasti image. That image of the woman with the axe in her head.
Yep.
Yeah.
There's metal bands use that later, too.
So, okay, so everybody, thanks for listening to us blurb on for about nothing in particular. Appreciate it. So Tom, I will talk to you later on, and everybody else, keep a little mark in your heart and
stay free, and we'll smell you later.
Smell you later, everybody. Bye. So hot. You make me laugh, those clothes you wear, and the stupid teeth you've got. Get off the air, get off the air, you pathetic male groupie, you don't impress me. Get off the air, you fucking square, you're just a jerk as far as I can see. APM, what is on the air? Shit now, Ronnie, I don't think you're so hot. You made me laugh with those clothes you wear and those late break teeth you got. Get off the air, get off the air, you pathetic male queer, you don't impress me. Get off the air, you fucking square, you're just a jerk as far as I can see.
Okay, that brings us to the end of another show. Hope you enjoyed it. Remember, keep a little mark in your heart, and we'll be back the same mark time, same mark channel.
That's it, man. Game over, man. It's game over.
Ah, ha, ha. Ever get the feeling you've been cheated? Good night. Fucking what a hell. Fucking rotter.
What a load of old shit.
Thank you, fuck you, bye, boom.
Okay.
This is Rock and Roll Radio. Stay tuned for more rock and roll.